Imagine it's February. The trees are bare. There's frost on the ground.
There's nobody around and the allotments are empty.
But your plot is groaning with food. Hello, I'm Richard Chivers.
And I'm Becky Searle.
And this is The Seed Pod.
This podcast was made in association with Dalefoot Composts. Using bracken and sheep's wool from the Lakeland Fells, Dalefoot Composts create the UK's premium growing mediums that are peat-free and organic for gardeners everywhere.
So Becky, this is a really big milestone. This is going to be the last episode that we do on the Seed Pod podcast this year. But what a milestone, what an achievement. And it's been a lot of fun.
It has been lots of fun, yeah. We've talked about so many things over the last year, and I hope that everybody's got a kind of idea for the way that we garden and a little bit about how the garden actually works from a scientific point of view as well, because that's really what we set out to achieve. And hopefully we can explore that a little bit more next year.
Absolutely. Come along. We'll be back. But as it is the end of the year, almost literally the end of the year, we're now moving into autumn. Where did that come from?
No.
we thought it would be a perfect opportunity to finish on what we can grow in our allotments and in our gardens over the winter, because this is a really interesting and exciting topic.
It is. And I think a lot of people kind of decide to sort of hang up their wellies in around September, October time. The first frost comes and kills more or less everything. And we all kind of go, oh, right, OK, wellies off, woolly socks on, sit in front of the fire with a hot chocolate. I'm not going outside again until March.
It does.
And this is really common, isn't it?
It does. I mean, I see it on my allotment site. You know, people will almost literally hang up their wellies and on the back of their shed door and walk away until the spring comes. And I think probably I would have been like that in the beginning when I first started growing my own veg, because you kind of fall into the trap of thinking, well, I've had it, all these bountiful harvests of summer food and crops, and this is wonderful, and the days are getting shorter and stuff, and what possibly could I be growing now? And actually, when you start to look into it and experiment and engage with lots of different types of vegetables, a surprisingly huge amount of stuff you can grow over the winter and into the spring to keep you going if you really want to.
Absolutely. But how about before we talk about what we can grow over winter and how to do it, why don't we talk about why we think it's important to grow food over winter? I mean, we've explored lots of reasons why we believe that it's important to grow food full stop during the course of this podcast. So maybe we can just tie in a few of those reasons. Let's start off with agriculture. So basically where our food comes from in the shops and things like that. When we grow our own food, we start to clock on a little bit. Even during the summer, you go into a shop in March, for example, knowing that you're about to sow your sweet corn next month, but sweet corn is available in the shop right then and there. So you kind of start to ask these questions in your mind, going, I wonder where that comes from, because it certainly doesn't come from the UK. And that is very, very true, and almost more in your face this time of year, I think.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's, I completely talk from my own experiences, is that when you've grown your own fruit and vegetables on your own allotment or in your garden for a while, you become instinctively in tune to what grows where and at what time of the year. And so when you go into the supermarkets and you see shelves and shelves of basically any vegetable you want at any time of the year, you kind of can relate to that and say, well, I can see this doesn't make much sense. And so I suppose in the UK, we've become quite distanced. The majority of us, I feel, have become distanced to actually seasonality of vegetables, because you basically can get any fruit and vegetables at any time of the year. And there's a lot of reasons why that's why that's not a great thing.
Yeah, that's it. And one of those reasons is literally to do with what our bodies need in different seasons. So I think everybody will be familiar with the fact that this sort of time of year, around September and going into October, November, December, you're craving slightly more hearty food than you were during the summer. So during the summer, you might really fancy the idea of a nice crispy, crunchy salad with a light dressing or something. I mean, it just sounds wonderful, doesn't it? We've actually had a really warm day today, on the day that we're recording, so that still sounds like a really good idea. But as you go into autumn and winter, that more hearty food starts to become more appealing. And there's a really good reason for that. And that is because those foods contain the nutrients and the fats and everything else that our body actually needs during that time in order to be able to store a little bit more fat and to get through the winter months. So we need to have high energy food. We need to have nutrients that are suitable for low light levels and for cold temperatures. And we need to also have things that can help us to pile on the pounds a little bit, because we all do it, don't we, over Christmas and stuff. I mean, our bodies are less in tune with this nowadays than they were when we were kind of hunter-gatherers, you know. But we're still subjected to these climatic changes throughout the year.
Absolutely, and you do. You I mean, if you, even with the variety of vegetables that's often offered in the supermarket, you still want to go in there, and you're still hunting out sort of like the comforting food, the stodgy food, the, you know, the food that you kind of will make you want to curl up with a hot bowl of something next to a fire and stuff. And there's vegetables that really seem, in my mind, seem to complement that really well. And absolutely, it's almost that natural craving, I suppose, our bodies seem to have for foods that grow in those particular seasons. And the other thing I think, which is very disheartening about the fact that we can go into a supermarket and buy any vegetable we want at any time of year, is that, as we've just said, because we know that these can't be grown in the UK at this point in the year, they have to have been flown in. You know, these are coming from somewhere, either in European countries or even further afield for a lot of the vegetables that we see on the supermarkets. And that's something that we shouldn't be, you know, we know there's an impact of that on the environment. There's a lot of economic impacts on the fact that we're pulling these foods in from all these other countries into the UK. So it's about awareness, and certainly growing your own fruit and vegetables makes you aware of a lot of these factors. And if you're lucky enough, like we are, to have space to grow your own fruit and vegetables, we can almost reset that seasonality of some, at least, of the foods that we're trying to put on our tables in our own homes.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, this food miles thing is a big buzzword at the moment, but literally just growing your own food can key you in to what has come from further afield and what is going to be coming from the UK at this time of year. The other thing that we need to be mindful of is that food, as it, after it is harvested, starts to have a gradual loss of nutrients. And therefore, if something is being harvested on the other side of the world, for example, and flown over to our country here in the UK, it's going to be deteriorating in nutrient content over time. So we need to be mindful of that as well. So we're not just kind of going at it from the burning carbon and all that kind of thing point of view. It's actually better for us if we can eat more locally, because our foods will be more nutrient dense and they will be therefore also geared to what our bodies need at this time of year. But the other thing that we need to consider is also that it is possible to produce some of these foods in the UK, but it's under really, really intensive management, and quite often these are huge great big greenhouses that are climatically controlled and things like that, and none of this is good for the environment as well. So you might be able to source tomatoes or strawberries that come from Kent during December, but we have to consider the impact that that kind of practice is having on the environment as well as just the transport.
It's such a huge waste of Well, it's just not efficient, and it, you know, in what we, in our current climate, in the fact that what we know we've got to do in terms of changing the way we eat, the way we live, stuff like this really does matter. And but also, who do you really want strawberries in December?
Well, I really love strawberries, but I think you're right, you know. But I think the concern is that people might think that we're trying to suggest that they only eat cabbage and kale through the winter months, which nobody wants that. And also nobody wants to live with somebody who wants that either, because it's deeply unpleasant. So we're not suggesting that at all. And we're going to give you some nice suggestions of things that you can eat over winter. But also, I think it's important that we pair in whatever we're growing over winter with things that we've managed to store from the summer harvests as well. So things like squashes, which store really, really well. Some of them can keep for months and months and months. Nice things like tomatoes and stuff that you can, and all of these things that you can put aside and then couple with what you are then growing over winter. But there's another really important reason that we should grow over winter, and that is to do with our favourite subject in the whole wide world, again, soil. It all comes back to soil. Now, we know from previous episodes on the podcast that soil has a reciprocal arrangement. The life in the soil has a reciprocal arrangement with plants, whereby the plants pump down the carbon into the soil and the soil feeds the plants. Now, if a plot of land is left completely clear for, say, 5-6 months of the year over winter, that really is a huge interruption to that cycle, and therefore we're not building our soil health. We could even be deteriorating our soil health by not having crops on it, or plants. It doesn't necessarily need to be crops. Cover plants, cover crops is fine, but we need to consider the impact that we're having on our soil. So a lot of people think that you have to rest soil over winter, but this is not at all true. It's quite the opposite, in fact.
I think this is what's so brilliant, that when you start to understand the way the soil works, and if you're an avid fan of growing food or just gardening, knowing that by keeping that stuff in the ground, growing what you possibly can, it's a win-win situation, because you're feeding the soil and you're making sure you've got a wonderful soil full of life that's going to be busting and ready to go come the spring, because you've maintained it and you've kept feeding that life by keeping crops in the ground. And of course, you're also getting food. And as we'll come into later on in this episode, a really intriguing variety of food is available to allow you to get that win-win situation.
That's it. And I wish that farmers in the UK were more incentivized to use their land over the winter, because as a country, we could produce a lot more food than we currently do, because so many fields are left to fallow, and the soil is left bare, and actually we could be getting crops out of that just with a bit of intelligent planting and growing and a little bit more work. But you know, it's kind of one of those things that when you start doing it yourself, you start to realize just how the system has sort of departed from what is healthy and what is normal.
So, Becca, we've just talked about why we should be growing stuff over the winter, and partly because it's really good for our soil, it's good for the environment, but also, as we've discovered, if you've got an allotment, a garden, or a place to grow, it's really exciting. And I got hooked on winter growing a few years ago, because, like you said, not many people think about growing over the winter, but I really got hooked on it, and I think, luckily, because I've got the polytunnel as well, it gave me a little bit more space or environment, let's call it environment, to be able to grow quite a considerable amount of vegetables that were bumper crops over the winter months. It's a really exciting thing to do. So there's the other reason you should really try and grow some stuff over the winter, because it's wonderful.
Yeah, I must say that I've been not lazy. I've been unable over the last couple of years to grow anything over winter, just simply because I moved house at the end of last year. The year before that, I took the opportunity to completely revamp my vegetable patch. And so I think we should say that if you do want to do a complete overhaul, like I did, and I built 8 new raised beds and put in a new border and all this kind of stuff, the winter is a good time to do that. But yes, I'm going to defer to you a little bit more on this, because it's not so fresh in my mind doing this winter growing. But I'm looking forward to growing over winter this year.
I should say as well, one thing I've noticed since I have been growing over the winter is that because it's the winter, there's a different vibe to growing over the winter, in the sense you don't feel as rushed as you do in summer. Now, I know we all love summer because you get so many different fruits and vegetables, but I often feel like it's out of control sometimes, that you are constantly having to do the weeding, you're constantly having to keep on top of the harvesting. I know that's lovely. It does feel, and watering, of course, particularly in recent years where we've had such dry, hot summers, the amount of watering we're doing. And so I suppose what I'm saying is, I've growing over winter is almost like a really sort of comforting, almost relaxing thing to actually experience, because it doesn't go at the same pace as summer. And that's something certainly I've taken away from it as well, the experience of growing over winter, the difference between the seasons.
Yeah, there's something really lovely about growing and seeing, whilst the growth is slower, obviously, because we have less light and we have less heat as well, it's really nice not to feel rushed and to know that you can leave it a little bit longer between visits to your garden or allotment or something like that. And when you do go, it tends to be on those beautiful chilly, misty mornings, and everything's quiet, and it's really lovely. It is lovely. And then you enjoy your cup of hot chocolate with your warm, fluffy socks. Absolutely. In front of the fire even more.
it's idyllic.
It is.
And because it's winter, no one else is around.
Well, exactly. So you get you can finally pee on your compost heap, Richard.
Steam.
So I think it's important to kind of cover a few different bases here, because there are a few different ways in which we can grow outside, and it depends what you've got on offer. And Richard's already mentioned that he's got his polytunnel. Polytunnels are a really good space for growing over winter because they increase the heat levels, which means that photosynthesis can take place faster when there is light. So that produces more growth than you would get if they were outside in colder temperatures. It doesn't mean, though, that you can grow things that are tender, because generally speaking, frosts get inside polytunnels anyway. The frost will penetrate through the polytunnel, but there are loads and loads and loads of frost-resistant crops. So we're going to talk a little bit about what you can grow in polytunnels, in greenhouses, and also outdoors as well.
Yeah, so we'll come onto the cover bit, because it does add a massive dimension, which is fantastic. But you don't need to have cover to grow vegetables outside. Now, I suppose what we should do, let's start with the obvious ones, which people will know of, because they're traditional winter vegetables for us, particularly in the UK. Everyone will know them, that happen in the winter time. But the difference, I suppose, about these crops compared to the other things we'll talk about is that these are the things that we've sown in the spring, in the earlier part of the year. And they are either we've sown them in modules or we've sown them direct, and they've grown over the summer, they've grown over the autumn, and they are now at their mature plants and ready for us to harvest in the winter. So those type of crops, if I say things like parsnips, an obvious one, we talked about parsnips way back in one of our very early episodes, how much we appreciate growing parsnips, but how early you do have to grow them, because they take a long time to germinate, but a long season to grow and produce roots that you would want that are of a substantial size. So parsnips are an obvious one. And then we've got things like the winter greens and brassicas, like Savoy cabbages and kales and celeriac and chard. And these are things that we have been sowing outside or sowing and then planting outside earlier in the year to grow and mature for the winter months.
So then there are a few things that we plant later in the year that we do for that all-important Christmas lunch. So, I mean, I think you're talking about parsnips has got my mouth watering already, because parsnips are just absolutely essential Christmas lunch fodder for me. But then there's a few things like potatoes and Brussels sprouts that you want to plant a little bit later in order for them to be ready for that all-important meal. And honestly, if you haven't grown your own Christmas lunch before, get on that, because it's so much fun.
It does. It makes it even tastier.
It does. It really does.
It does. There's nothing like it. It's nothing. But people will. I just hope that people are getting the idea now. The crops that they would probably associate with being in their gardens or their grandparents' gardens, if they, you know, or UK winter crops that they recognise that can be grown, but they're planted earlier on in the year and they grow outside absolutely fine, and they'll just sit in the garden then until you're ready to harvest them. Lots of them. The other thing I'm thinking of is leeks as well, yeah. And swedes and stuff like that. These are, you know, these are things that conjure up winter dining, don't they, in your head. This is what we were talking about earlier, about what kind of things you want in the winter, and these must be people in people's heads. These must be vegetables they think of as winter food.
That's it, exactly. All those things that are tolerant of the cold, they can stand a few frosts, and that we generally put in our winter dishes. So basically, yeah, if in doubt, what would you put in a nice winter stew? Probably grows in exactly. The garden.
You can grow it.
Exactly.
So should we move on to the next bit? So we've just covered off what you're growing early in the year that's going to grow and mature in time to be harvested during the winter months. And just to reiterate, a lot of those crops, apart from obviously potatoes, those crops that are happily sitting in your garden are pretty frost resistant as well. So they're happy to have the cold weather and the frost, and then they're going to just be stalwarts in the garden beds over the winter, because they're just going to be ready for you. Then we've got other things that you can plant late in the year. So there's almost... I've come to see that August, September, October, but mainly September for me anyway, is almost like a second spring, in the sense that if you pick the right varieties and the right crops, you're sowing again for another harvest in a few months' time. Just as we are at the beginning of the year for the harvest in summer, we're doing it again in September to get 3 months later and further and over the winter into the early spring, another burst of crops. It's a second spring, and this is really exciting. And if you don't have cover, you will be surprised. Well, I certainly was when I first started growing over the winter. The huge variety of vegetables that will happily grow from September sowing outside with very little protection, because they're frost tolerant, they're cold tolerant plants that you can harvest. I think the key thing to these things is when you're sowing in September, and this will go for whether you're growing outside directly in September undercover like a polytunnel, is the majority of these vegetables, well, all of them, are going to be quick growing. You're going to get, because you've got a period of where you've got to use the light and the remaining warmth to get those plants to a suitable size that they are going to go into the winter months and grow very slowly, very limited over the winter, but they're perfectly harvestable during that time.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, like Richard said, you know, it is surprising how much we can grow. And I think one thing that a lot of people would be surprised to hear is about salads. And salad is not traditionally something that you think about eating really over winter, but actually there's quite a lot of salads that can be grown over winter. And particularly, we're talking here about Asian greens as well. And I mean, I'm classing those as salads. Things like pak choy, bok choy, mizuna, and things like that, that are really, really tasty. They add that nice little sort of lightness to your winter meals if you want them, and will grow really happily outside or undercover. And like I said before, if they're undercover, they're going to be growing slightly faster. We need to be mindful of the fact that we are going now into a rapid decline of light levels. So if we are able to sow in early September or late August, I mean, that ship sailed now, but still, then we're able to get plants that are established then when they go into winter. So they've got slightly more leaf area, so they're able to photosynthesize slightly more readily and therefore able to get properly established. Whereas if we're sowing later on, it might be that they just stall and they just can't really get going over winter. So that's something to be mindful of.
From my own experience of this is over the last few years that I've been doing this is, and it goes back to a key thing we said at the beginning of this podcast as well. You need to know your own area. You need to know your own location within the UK. So the further north you are, as you know yourselves, because you live there, it's going to get darker sooner and it's going to be colder much quicker, much sooner than the southern parts of the country. So you have to time this knowing your own conditions. So for me in Cardiff, in the southeast corner of Wales, what works for me where I am is I know I can sow in September to get things like Becky's just said about lettuces and Asian greens started in modules from seed in September, and they will be ready to plant out pretty much 4 weeks later, either outside in the beds or and in the polytunnel. If I'm growing them in the polytunnel, I know I can extend the sowing period for another few weeks, even to the end of September would probably work fine for me, and then plant them out directly in the beds in the polytunnel. The key thing is to know your own area and sow accordingly. Let's go back to the stuff that you can grow. What you've already said, Becky, is it's surprisingly, I think this will surprise people, because for lots of reasons we tend not to associate salads with winter, but the salads of the lettuces particularly and the Asian greens that you can grow, I see them as much more robust varieties, you know. So they're not your iceberg lettuces or anything like that. They are, you know, your mustards and your sort of like darker, heartier leaves of Lolo Rosso, which is a red and green type leaf lettuce, and it's quite a robust leaf. It's delicious. Grenoble Red, another one. And and also you can think of things like rocket will grow well as well. These tend to be the varieties that will grow over the winter, and I see them as they're much more robust versions of your lettuces. And then if you don't see them as a salad but you see them as these robust leaf plants, they're definitely worth having in the winter, and you will want them in the cold months. You know, you can have a robust salad or a warm salad or radicchio or something as well. You can even cook that. So that's the way I see it. When you look at the varieties that are available to grow in the winter, they're very robust. But the other good thing about growing salads over the winter is they're easier to grow because they're cold tolerant and they don't run to seed as quickly as they do in the summer. So surprisingly, even though we eat a lot of salads and lettuces in the summer months, I found myself growing them in the summer is quite tricky because they grow ridiculously quickly and the heat can just really cause them to bolt.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, salads are, let's say that they're not necessarily easier to grow. They're easier to manage, I think, over winter. You don't have to be quite so on top of them all of the time with watering and all that kind of jazz. So they are quite easy to grow. And I think a lot of people just wouldn't even occur to them that you can plant something like a Lolo Rosso lettuce outside over winter. It can get covered in snow and come back the next day absolutely fine. But they are really hardy, and it tends to be the loose leaf ones, because the the lettuces that form heads or hearts, they get the frost inside them and they just kind of dissolve from the inside out. So loose leaf varieties and winter tolerant varieties are the ones that you want to look out for. And they are, like Richard said, absolutely delightful.
And the thing about this is, like you said, I'm glad you mentioned, I predominantly grow loose leaf lettuces at any time of the year because I find them more efficient because you get so many crops, so many harvests off a small amount of plants over a long period of time. And that's definitely something you want to be doing over the winter because the growth slows down. But all these things will grow happily outside on an allotment bed or inside a polytunnel. And the thing to remember is it's not about protection from the frost or the cold. What I find is more damaging, particularly over the winter when we get a lot of storms, is wind. The wind damage can be a nightmare on my plot because it's quite an open site, and we get a lot of winds and winter storms, particularly in Wales, and it can really damage the leaves and cause some problems. So the polytunnel, what I've noticed is it simply acts as a barrier against the wind. So my point is you don't actually need a polytunnel. What you need is some wind protection more than anything. So if you want to grow these things and give them a better chance, fighting chance, you can put a bit of plastic over the bed, or you can just simply put something that acts as a wind barrier to stop the wind that damaging the leaves so much. Because in the winter, unlike a greenhouse, a polytunnel isn't that much difference in terms of temperature inside. So if I go down there in the middle of winter and there's, because remember, we've had not much sunlight, not much daylight hours, so there's not chance for the temperatures to heat up. The inside temperature of the polytunnel is not really that much difference to the temperature outside. And I just, that's a key thing for me, is that these plants that you choose to grow over the winter, they grow because they're tolerant to the cold, not because they need heat to grow.
And there are a few things like carrots and radishes that you can also grow. And yeah, I think it's all about kind of adapting to the space that you've got. And also understanding that it's not like in spring where if you sow something a little bit late, it'll catch up. It's, if you sow it late, it's probably not going to catch up. So get it sown, get them done, and then hopefully you'll be able to have plenty of harvests over winter.
The other thing we should say on that note is actually is the hungry gap.
Yes.
And this is probably something, again, we have mentioned the hungry gap before, but it's something you definitely come to realise more as allotment growers and grow your vegetable growers, is that there is this point in early spring to late spring, early summer, where you kind of don't have anything, or it can be very difficult to have something growing or harvesting at that point in the year. So you can grow all these winter veg and then you can grow your spring veg, but by the time you've sown the new crops for the spring, you've got a period where there isn't. But there isn't anything growing or to harvest, but there actually is, isn't it? And this is a key thing about knowing what you can sow all through the year to get almost like plug the gaps. And the key thing for me, or the key crop that jumps out for me, is October, even November, I guess, broad beans.
Yeah, totally. I mean, broad beans are a really good plug for that hungry gap, but there are other things as well, like the kale and chard and things like that, that can just stay in the garden. And I mean, I kind of only really clear my kale in spring because it's starting to look a bit raggedy and I think, well, yeah, come on, let's get some fresh plants in there. But they can just keep going, and it's the same with chard. They keep going for ages and ages and ages, so those are really good plugs for the hungry gap as well.
Purple sprouting broccoli,
yeah. Who doesn't like a bit of purple sprouting broccoli? It's absolutely delicious. So yeah, there are plenty of things, but it's all about kind of understanding what you've got in terms of space to grow and facilities as well, like a polytunnel or a greenhouse. And then understanding that there are plenty of opportunities for growing, and to make sure that you look into that as well.
So this has been a really great episode. It's been the last episode of the year, but we really hope you enjoyed it. We've talked about why we should be looking to grow more crops throughout the year, but particularly for this episode, we talked about growing more food over the winter and the possibilities there are when you start to look at what food is available to grow in your allotments, in your gardens over the winter months.
And we also talked about why it's so important as well. It's good for our soil health, it's good for our health, and it's good for our planet's health.
We really hope you enjoyed this last episode of the year, and we'll be back again in the spring with a brand new series of the podcast. If you are enjoying the podcast, we would love if you would subscribe. See you in the new year. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.